We're holding on a hey, I'm at Aleph, the 10th line. The Gemara says Gufa, getting back to what we said before, as far as the Dias HaTuma, we said, Minayin, we had Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, and Rebbe. Minayin, she'en echayiv, ela al sheyeshba, yediyah betchila, v'yediyah besoif, v'helam in time. How do we know that a person is chayiv for Korban, for Tumas Mikdash HaKadoshav, only if he knew at the beginning that he was Tomei, knew at the end, and then there was a helam, there was a period of unknowingness in between, which we said in the Mishnah that that's the case where he brings the Korban. Talmud Lomar, v'nelam, v'nelam, shnei pomim divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva had said, because it says v'nelam twice, and since it says it also v'hu yoda, then therefore we consider it as though it said in that order, v'nelam, v'hu yoda, and then v'nelam again. So that results in that there's a, that, so therefore that results in other words, that there was a yedia, and then, or actually v'nelam, yoda, and v'nelam would mean the other way around, forgetting or remembering or forgetting, but the point is, in other words, that Rabbi Akiva had said that that since so we talked yesterday. Rashi says because it says one time Vinelam teaches us that that Rabbi Akiva says only he's chayiv only if he forgot that he was Tomei, not if he forgot that this is the site of the Beis Hamikdash or these are Kodshim. So that one Vinelam teaches us that, and then you have the Yoda and the Vinelam, meaning in other words that you say that he knew that he forgot and then he knew, and then by definition he has to know again at the end in order to bring a korban, otherwise how's he going to know that he has to bring one? That was according to Rashi, and we talked about that Tosfos had a different explanation of it, that the fact that you have an extra v'nelam means
there was two questions in the end of Rashi. One question was what are you dashing? He said because there's two v'nelams, and so therefore you put the yoda in between.
Rashi had mentioned you put the yediyah in between, but that was because first what you have is one v'nelam. According to Rabbi Akiva, tells us there's only one kind of helam that makes him chayiv, and that would be helam tuma, not helam kodesh. Yeah. Then according to Rashi, you have a according to Rashi's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, you have a v'hu yoda and you have a v'nelam, and that means in other words that you have that he knew at one point and he knew and then he forgot, and we don't have to say the pasuk doesn't have to tell us there was a yediyah at the end, because obviously otherwise how is he going to know to bring a korban? And that was according to Rashi, and then we said that Tosfos that Rabbeinu Tam had given a couple of other explanations. Anyway, that was Rabbi Akiva. So Talmud Lomar v'nelam v'nelam shnei pomim divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says twice v'nelam. Rebbe Omer ein tzarich, and we said that Rebbe had said it's not necessary to learn that way. Harehu Omer v'nelam, the very fact that it says v'nelam that he forgot that it was obscured from him, miklal sheyoda, that implies that he knew something before. V'nelam implies that he knew something which then he forgot. Then when the pasuk says v'hu yoda, that he knew, harei kam shtei yedias, then right away there you have two yedias. And in between, there has to have been a forgetting. In Kain Matam Lem of Nelam, so why did it say Nelam, or why did it say Nelam twice? L'chai, Val Helam Tuma, Val Helam Mikdash. So Rebbe is saying that the two Nelams teach us that he is Chayiv for both types of Helam, not like Rabbi Akiva, who said he's Chayiv only for Helam Tuma.
Right. Now, it seems like this is more straightforward. Rabbi Akiva darshaning. Why did he have to darshan?
Well, that's why Rebbe is saying Ein Tzarich, but that's why Rebbe is saying Ein Tzarich. But again, we talked about a bit yesterday. There are various ways. There's questions on Rashi that Tosfos has. There's ways for answering Rashi, etc.
Okay,
fine. So now let's analyze that. Omamar v'nelam miklal sheyoda. When we say v'nelam implies that he knew before, my mashma. How does the word v'nelam specifically mean that he knew something beforehand? So Rava says because it meant that he never knew it in the first place, then the pasuk would have said v'hi aluma mimenu, it is obscured from him. So v'nelam suggests that it's something that now became obscured, namely that now he didn't know it. Omale Abaya. But Abaya says, how can you say that v'nelam means something that was known and now is forgotten? Elameata, by that logic, Gabi Soita, what about by a Soita? You have the same word, Dichti V'nelam Me'ene Isha, where it says V'nelam from her husband's eyes. Miklal de Haba Yoda Me'ikra, do you mean to say that you're implying that he knew something that he knew something about it to begin with? Now, what could it be that he knew? Tosfos brings up a couple of possibilities. One is that maybe it means that he knew that she became Tomei. So in other words, when the pasuk says v'shachav ishoisa shichvasera, the nelam, it would mean that he knew that she became tamei and now he forgot about it. But the question is, then what do you mean? Tosfos says, then if he remembers afterwards, then why is he giving her the sota water in the first place? And if he doesn't remember, then also why is he giving it to her? He thinks that he never knew about it in the first place. So Tosfos says, okay, listen, you could say that maybe he didn't remember, but he figures he's going to give her the mei sota, and that itself will, he's not sure, so this way he figures the mei sota will tell one way or the other. But obviously that's not the case, because the fact is that the case of sota is not where he doesn't know that she became tomei. Well, it's where he doesn't know to begin with that she became tomei, not that he knew and then he forgot. Anyway, that's one possibility. Tosfos says another possibility is that the v'nealam could refer to the stira. So it could mean, in other words, that to begin with, he knew of the stira. He knew that she had been secluded after he had warned her, but now he doesn't know whether she became tamei. That's the whole point. That's how Meisveja works. But in other words, you could say that maybe it means he knew at the time that she was in stira, and then he forgot that she was in stira altogether. Nevertheless, Tosfos says the Gemara is going to call that it's still considered that he's not menukum oven. The Gemara mentions over and over in Soita these days. We're learning it because of Sfira as well. That the Gemara points out over and over
The second option is
that he forgot the stira, that he knew that there was stira, that he knew at the time when he gives her the drink, he remembers that there was stira, but in between he had forgotten that there had been stira at all. But then in that case, then now, in other words, the idea would be that during that time, apparently he had relations with her. The question would be, then what's wrong with that? It is true that after Stira, he's also to have relations with her, but if he forgot, then what's the problem? How can we consider him guilty for that, such that the Mei Sota should not work? So Tosfos says, because, listen, it's something very important. If he doesn't consider it important enough to remember, then you can't call him Menukin Me'oven. Menukin Me'oven means, in other words, that he's free of any Averis involving Arayas. It's Machalikas, we're showing him anyway, whether Menukin Me'oven means specifically in this one area of not having relations with her after she became a Sota, or whether it means that Amman learns that it means more generally that he's free of any taint of Arayas. Whatever the case, the point is, in other words, that the very fact that he didn't bother to remember it and now had relations with her shows, in other words, that's reason enough to consider him guilty such that the Mei Sota wouldn't work.
How do you put this in context with what we're saying about Yediyah Satuma?
Well, so the point is, in other words, we're trying to establish, Abaya is saying, we see that the word v'nelam doesn't necessarily mean something that you knew and then forgot, because by the Sota, we're not talking about that he knew that she was Tomei or he knew that she had been secluded and then forgot. We're talking about that he knows the whole time. So therefore we see that v'nealam doesn't always mean something that you knew and then forgot. The Rosh points out a different angle on it as well. The very fact that we're saying that the very fact that the Pasuk is saying v'nealam, if we're going to say v'nealam means he forgot something, what would be the significance of the fact that he forgot would be that he had relations with her during that time. Anyway, but the fact is it doesn't work that way. Because he have a yoda, because if he knows that she was Tomei or that she was in Stira and then had relations with her or whatever, all these different possibilities, mi bodku la maya, would the water even test her in the first place? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa that when the pasuk says v'nika ishme oven, the man will be clean of guilt, v'ishai he tises avona, and that woman will bear her guilt. That means the connection is bizmancha ishme nukame oven, only when the man is free of oven. According to the Rambam, it means any taint of Arayas. According to most other Rishonim, it means specifically in this matter of not having relations with his wife after she became a Sota. Hamayim bodkinus ishtoi, then the water will test his wife. Ein ha'ish menukum oven. But if the man is not clean of this kind of thing, then the water doesn't test his wife. So therefore, so you can't possibly say that the word v'nealam by a sota means that he knew and then forgot, because if he knew that she was tamei and then forgot, then what exactly is the scenario that he's giving her the mei sota? You wouldn't call him menukah me'oven for that, because the Tosfos was saying to forget such an important thing implies that it's not really important to him. And according to the second possibility in Tosfos as well, that it means he forgot the stira. Same kind of thing. You can't call a menukah me'oven if he forgets such an important thing. And according to the Rosh's explanation of Rashi, if he has relations with her during that time, then already it shows that then he's not menukah me'oven. So one way or the other, this wouldn't work. So therefore we see that vanellum doesn't always mean something that you knew and then forgot. The two, furthermore, continues Abaya. Here's another point. Gabi Torah, it says about the Torah, a whole parak in Eves that talks about Chochma, and Chochma means Torah, that speaks about how difficult it is to find and acquire the Chochma of Torah. And it says the expression, it is hidden from the eyes of all living beings. Vanelma is the Loshon Nekeva of Vanelam. When we Oifa Shemayim Nistora, it's hidden even from the birds of heaven. So again, does that mean does that mean that there's somebody who knows the value of Torah? Actually, the Pasuk is talking about how do people really understand the full value of Torah? Does that mean that there are people who understand it fully and then don't know it? No, v'hoksiv, because the Pasuk says over there, lo yoda in lo, a few psukim earlier, in introducing this Pasuk, it says, lo yoda enesh erka. No person knows the true value of Torah. So you can't say that people knew it and then forgot. So we see that v'ne'alam or v'ne'alma doesn't always mean to know something and then forget it. So the question is, how does the v'ne'alam mean the klal Rebbe Akiva is saying, v'ne'alam m'klal sh'yoda, or actually Rebbe had said, v'ne'alam m'klal sh'yoda, where do we see that the word v'ne'alam means, implies that there was knowledge beforehand? Elo, I'm going Abaya, so rather Abaya says, here's the answer, Yediyas beis rabbi shmo yediyah. The fact that he knew from his Rebbe's house, the fact that he learned in Cheder, the concept that a person touches something tamei becomes tamei, and Rashi adds, then the continuation of it is, then that he knows, he realizes that he touched it, but now he didn't pay attention and realized because of that he's tomei. So now that kind of thing, shmo yediyah, that is enough to be considered yediyah. So in other words, vanilla means that all he knows is what he remembers from cheder is that that a person touches something tomei, then he becomes tomei. So now Rebbe is saying that if he didn't learn this as a child, would be that he didn't even learn this kind of thing at all. So now what would be the case? V'ne'alam would mean not that we don't mean that he knew it and that he forgot it. We mean he knows this abstract idea that if he touches a sheretz or any source of tumah, then he's going to become tamei. But he didn't think of it at the time that wait, I touched this thing, I became tamei. So now
Rashi said.
So Rashi says, "V'hu yoda," that he knows shehugish chinoga. He feels, he realizes that he touched, but he didn't pay attention to realize that that means that he became tamei. So now that's considered enough of a yediyah, where therefore now when he doesn't realize that he was in fact tamei, and he goes into the Beis Mikdash, and later on he realizes that he's going to be chayav a korban. So applying that to her, so now in a similar vein, in other words, so about the same thing when it comes to the soita, when it says vanilla me'ena isha, so it means the same kind of thing. In other words, it would mean that he knows that if she becomes tomei, she's going to be also to him. But he didn't know whether in fact she became tomei. Tosfos mentions, in other words, the point is where basically what we're saying is that he knew before is what he knows now. So therefore, in other words, the fact that he knows, that's what we're saying. Abaya is saying yediyas beis rabbi shmo yediyah, the fact that he knows this concept that he learned from Cheder, that's enough. In other words, so we're not talking about that he actually ever forgot anything. He just never realized that he became tamei. There are several other explanations among Rishonim what exactly it means. In other words, so for example, does it mean? So here, Rashi is saying, in other words, he realizes he touched the sheretz, but he didn't pay attention to realize that, wait, that actually made me tummy. Yeah. So it means, in other words, that he knows the concept that touching a sheretz makes him tummy. There's several different explanations of what exactly is the yediyas beis rabbi. What exactly is it that he knows from his Rebbe's house? According to many Rishonim, the vote would be knowing that if a person touches a sheretz, he's going to be tamei, is enough to be considered yes, Mr. Abbey, even if he doesn't realize that what he actually touched over here was a sheretz. The Ramban, for example, puts it that, for example, you could have a person who touches something and he doesn't remember whether he knows there's a concept. A person touches a sherex, he becomes tamei. He doesn't remember whether the sherex in question is a frog or toad. Let's say it's sov, which is a creature similar to a frog, so like a toad or some kind of lizard or something like that. So that kind of thing also could be considered yidias veis rabbi. Well, Omalei Rapapa Labaya said, Rapapa asked Abaya, Elo de Katani, Einba Yediyah B'Tfilah, V'Yeshbi Yediyah B'Soif. Well, in that case, then, if the Mishnah is telling us that you have a case where there's no Yediyah at the beginning, but there is a Yediyah at the end, Mi Ika de Les La Yediyah Space Rabbi, do you have anybody who didn't learn such a concept in Cheder? Now, you could say, what do you mean? I mean, you have Amei Oretz. So there's actually an interesting idea that one of the Mephoshim says that actually in that case, if a person doesn't even bother, he didn't even bother learning such a thing when he didn't bother learning or paying attention in Cheder when he was a child, then maybe we would say, in other words, that we'd consider it, the Torah Chaim says on it, we would consider him such a Rosha and such a Mazid, we wouldn't even say that the Torah gives a special korban to be Mechaper on him. We said in the Mishnah that if you have a person didn't know at the beginning and he has no yediyah b'tchila, but he has yediyah b'soif. Then we said that. The korbanos are still one of the korbanos of Yom Kippur are mechaper for him. But come on, we're not going to say, says the Tertas Chaim, that a person didn't bother learning this when he was a child, and then never bothered learning it later in life either. That the Tertas should bashtim a special korban to be mechaper for him. No.
So, in context, what is the Papa saying?
The Papa is saying that. Then what exactly? So what exactly is the case of enbi yediyah b'tchila? Everybody has yediyah space rabbi. You could have a child who was captured among the goyim, and therefore he never learned as a child this concept, and therefore, so that would be the kind of case that the Mishnah is talking about, that therefore the Torah sets up a korban to be mechaper for him in this case, where we said you have when he realizes eventually later in life he comes to learn, you know, there is a concept that if a person touches a sheretz or whatever, that he becomes tamei, and now he realizes, you know what, years back I went into the Beis Hamikdash when I was tamei and I didn't realize it, so now we're saying that so now the Mishnah told us that that because there was no yediyah b'tchila, so therefore we said the sur hanasa b'chutz of Yom Kippur will be mechaper for him. An interesting point. There's a cute vote on this that Rav Shamshon Afal Hirsch talks about this in his Pirush on Chumash when he talks about these dinim in Parshas Vayikra. He says, you see from that evidently in those times women would learn these dinim as well. Otherwise, why does the Gemara have to go find a tinik shenishvel of enanochim? The Gemara could have answered very simple. We're talking about a woman. After all, these dinim apply equally to women and men. Evidently, women must have learned enough of this when they were children as well. This is Rav Shamshon Afal Hirsch says this. And he no Dorish no Makayim, by the way, in Rav Hirsch's schools that he set up in Frankfurt, he had classes for boys and for girls. This was long before Beis Yaakov started. That was started only decades later by Sarah Schneer, but he understood in his time already the importance of chinuch for girls, for formal chinuch for girls as well. And he had in his schools in Frankfurt over there, he had classes for girls. Onward.
I mean, he was fighting assimilation.
He was fighting assimilation, exactly, yeah. Yeah, they were here and there, and there were places before that, here and there, where they had, it became a worldwide thing, only when Beis Yaakov was started, but before that, you had individual kahilas here and there, where they realized they have to have schools for girls, yeah.
Whose times would it be?
He was in the times. He was in the mid to late 1800s. If you want to put it in the times of the Rebbe, if you want to put it in terms of the times of the Rebbe, he was in the time of Tzemach Tzedek and the Rebbe Maharash. Okay, fine. Okay, now the Mishnah had said Yitzias Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba. We said the goings out or the carryings out of Shabbos. We said a Shtayim Shein Arba. So let's discuss that point a little bit. The Mishnah, the Tznan Halsim. Now we learn in the Mishnah in the Sechta Shabbos, Yitzias Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba B'fnim or Shtayim Shein Arba B'chutz. You have two which are four inside and two which are four outside. Now you have a number of different ways of understanding what bifnim and bachutz, what bifnim and bachutz means. So Rashi explains over here that bifnim means bringing things inside, and bachutz would be carrying things outside. Then you have in Masechta Shabbos, Rashi brings that it means that bifnim and bachutz mean respectively the person standing inside, which the Mishnah calls for short the balabayas, and the person standing outside, which we call in shorthand the onim. So one is the person, and one is the gavra, and one is the chetza, I guess you could say, yeah. And then you have Tosfos goes on to mention a couple of other possibilities. It can mean means the kind of things for which a person would have to bring a korban bifnim in the azara versus bachutz, things where a person is potter because there's nothing that he has to bring into the azara as a korban.
Wow, that's a novelty to me.
So the Gemara says, Maishna Hocha, the Tanish Shtayim Shein Dala Betuloi, why is it that in our Mishnah, it just says Shtayim Shein Arba without going into any detail about Bishnim and Bachutz, Betuloi, and no more than that, Maishna Hocha, the Tanish Shtayim Shein Arba Bishnim, or Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz? And why over there does it mention the point about Bishnim and Bachutz? So the answer is Hocha, the Ikka Shabbos, because there it's Masech the Shabbos, it's the main place to talk about Hilchos Shabbos. So therefore, it lists both the ovis and the tolders. So therefore, it goes into the details over there. The ovis, it actually explains the yitzias, which would be minatora, and the tolders, which would be the hachnosis, the bringing something in, which is not so explicit in the pasuk, and we learn it from a drasha. So therefore it gives all the details. Hocha delav ikar Shabbosu, here where it's not the main place to talk about Masech the Shabbos, about the dinim of Shabbos, we're only mentioning it because we're listing all the Shtayim Shein Arbas together. Ovis Tani, the Tolus Leitani. So therefore it lists the Ovis and not the Tolus. Tosfos points out when it comes to Negoyim, as we're going to start learning on Amud Beis, we do have the Ovis and the Tolus, but there we have no choice. Without Tolus, we don't have four kinds of Tzaras. As opposed to over here, we're able to find four Shtayim Shein Arba just with the Ovis themselves without even needing the Tolus. Well, that brings up the question then. So in that case, the Ovis Mai Ninu Yitzias. So in that case, what are you going to say? The Ovis means the Yitzias, means the bringing out Yitzias Tarte Havian. Then you only have two of them. Meaning one where the Oni takes something out, and one where the Balabais sends something out. So where's your four? You're going to answer that you have, after all, two where there's chiyuv and two where there's potter, and as it goes in detail in the mission over there, you have where the oni sticks his hand in and the balabais places something into it and the oni takes it out, where then you have one did the akira and the other did the hanocha, or vice versa. So you're going to say there's your shtayim shein arba, and all of it involves hotzah, all of it involves taking something out. The problem with that is v'hadumya demaris negoyim katani. The problem is, again, it has to be similar to the case of maris negoyim, whereas we established before, it means mahosam kol l'chiyuva, and my maris negoyim was saying all four shades of tzaras that the Mishnah is referring to are all his chayev, meaning that he would be his chayev a korban eventually when he's healed from his tzaras, and his chayev if during that time he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, etc. The same way, the Shtayim Shein Arba of Shabbos, on the face of it, would have to be things that are all chayim. So you can't say that some of them are daraisa and some of them are derabanan. So what do you mean then that over here we're listing only the ovis and not the tolis? So you're right, that doesn't work. Ella Omer Papa. So rather, a Papa says the difference is like this. Hosam de Ikka Shabbos. Again, there in Masech the Shabbos is the main place to talk about Shabbos Toni Chiyuv Yupturi. So the Mishnah is mentioning the things where he's Chayev and the things that he's Potter. So it mentions all of the eight possible cases, of which four of them he's Chayev, which include two of them, so you have altogether two Hotzois, for which the respective person is Chayev, two Achnosis, for which the respective person is Chayev, as well as two more hutzos and two more achnosis, for which both of them are potter, because one did the akira, one did the hanocha. Hocha, but over here, Masech the Shavuos, with not the main place to talk about Hilchos Shabbos, chiyuvi toni uptori leitoni, it's only listing the ones that he's chayev and not the ones that are potter. Well, the Gemara says again, Maininu. So what are you saying? The ones for which he'd be chayev are which ones? Yitzias are the ones taking something out from one place from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, because after all, the expression is Yitzias the Shabbos, not transfers of Shabbos or something like that. It specifically uses the word Yitzias. which is which means taking out. Again, like we said, the problem is you see Yitzhakti who you have in. The problem is you only have two of those. One where the Oni does the Akira and Anocha, and one where the Baal Bais does the Akira and Anocha. Where's your Shehen Arba? And the fact is that it's you, and the fact is that it's using the word Yitzir, you know, it's using the word Yitzias. So the Gemara says, okay, it means Shtaim Dahitzah or Shtaim Dahachnasah. Fine, it doesn't mean only Hitzah. It means you have two Hitzahs for which they're Chayav, one where the Oni does the Hitzah, Akira Bahanacha, one where the Baal Bais does it, and the same thing with the Chnasah, where the Oni takes something from where he is and puts it down inside, and vice versa, the Baal Bais takes something from outside and pulls it inside and puts it down. So fine, you have two Hitzahs and two Achnasahs. There's your Shtaim Shein Arba, and all four of them is Chayav. The problem is, well, Yitzias Katani. The fact is, the Mishnah is using the word Yitzias, and doesn't that mean only bringing things out?
Katani's asking this question.
Yeah, all this time we've been dealing with the question of what exactly, why over here we're not mentioning Bifnim and Bachutz. So now, if you're going to tell me that here we're only dealing with things that are Chayev and not things, so we tried all this and told us, we said that doesn't work. But now we're saying, if you're going to say that, it's talking about we are mentioning Ovis and Toldus, but we're only focusing on things that are Chayev and not things that are Potter. And by the way, what the definition of Ovis and Toldus might be in this regard is part of the question also. Yeah, because in other words, what does it mean? In other words, the Gemara is going to go on to say that the word Hotzah includes Hachnosa as well.
Okay.
So fine. Rashi uses the expression it's all called part of Hotzah. That's in other words, the question is, in other words, on the face of it, that it's kind of Rashi is saying that's considered a tolda. That's what we said. You have Ovis and toldas. Now, in the continuation of the Gemara, Rashi is saying basically that it means that it's part of the av. So there is a point about that. You have to realize that the definition of av malacha and tolda doesn't always mean like this. We usually understand an av malacha is what was done in the Mishkan, and a tolda is what was not done in the Mishkan, but it's an outgrowth of that. But actually what you could have is that, Rashi will understand, in other words, that Hotzah and Achnasa are not an Av and a Tolda respectively. They can actually be considered both parts of the Av. The Rambam also makes a distinction. You have Ovis and Toldas, and you have Me'ein Malacha. You have something which is considered another form of the same Malacha, but not a Tolda necessarily. So the question was that it says Yitzias. So the answer is Omer Rav Ashi Tana Hachnosa Nami Hotzah Kori Lo, because the Tana is using the word Hotzah to mean Hachnosa as well. So in fact the Rosh points out, you have the expression in Parshas Bori that Hashem says that by the night of Makas Bechoris and the Yotzeh B'tzeich Mitzrayim, Hashem is not going out in Mitzrayim, he's going into Mitzrayim. So we see that the word Yotzeh can mean going in as well. So the Gemara says Mimai, how do we know that? Where do we see that Hotzah includes Achnosa as well? The Tanan, because we learn in the Mishnah in Shabbos when it lists the 39 Malachas, it says Hamotzi Mereshus L'Reshus Chayev, one who takes out from one Reshus to another is Chayev. And the fact is, it's not only when he takes from Reshus Yachid to Reshus Rabin. Milay Askinim to come Ayla Yuli. Wouldn't it equally well apply when he takes in from Reshus Rabin to Reshus Yachid? V'kokari Lei Hotzah. And we see the Mishnah is calling it under the general term Hotzah. It doesn't call the Malacha Hotzah V'Achnosa. It calls it just Hotzah. So we see, therefore, that the word Hotzah means anytime you're transferring something from one Rishos to another. For that matter, it also includes transferring Dalar Amos and Rishos Rabim as well. The Baal Amor, in fact, gives an explanation on that. A person's mokum is four Amos. So when a person is carrying four Amos and Rishos Rabim, he's taking it out of one mokum and bringing it to another mokum, and therefore he's chayav for that as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
Scientifically correct.
Yeah. So, yeah. Um, so, uh, So Tosfos points out, as we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, since Hotzah and Achnasa is a Malacha Grua, it's something that we wouldn't even think was Malacha if we hadn't been told, therefore the Mishnah has reason to mention every possible scenario, and therefore it mentions Hotzah, and we have to understand that the word Hotzah includes Achnasa as well. But the Gemara says, why? Maybe not. Maybe in the list of 39 Malachas, it's only talking about... maybe it's only talking about taking out from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Rabim. The same way as, for example, yeah, you know, you have, let's say, you have a lot of different forms of other malachas, a lot of different others in Tolvus, and they're not all listed in the Mishnah over there. Those are dealt with throughout Masechta Shabbos and in the Gemara and so forth. Maybe the Mishnah is, in fact, using the word Hotzah only to mean Hotzah, only taking out, and it's not meaning to include Achnasa, and you're back to the question. Then when it says, Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba, how are you going to get your Shtayim Shein Arba for all four of which he's Chayev, unless you include Achnasa as well? But how do you know? Where is Rav Ashi getting that Hotzah necessarily includes Hanoch, includes Achnasa?
One second. We're trying to say Shtayim Shein Arba. We can do that without Achnasa?
No, that's the question. The question is, in order to make it work, Rav Ashi has to tell us that the word Hotzah automatically includes Achnasa as well, precisely because the Mishnah uses the word Hamotzi Merushos L'Rushos, and that includes whether you're talking about Hotzah or Achnasa. But the question is why? Maybe, in fact, Hotzah Merushos L'Rushos means only from Merushos Yachad to Merushos Rabim. It's true, of course, a person is Chayev for carrying in from Merushos Rabim to Merushos Yachad, but fine. The Mishnah is not mentioning that any more than, let's say, the Mishnah is mentioning Achurish, and it's not mentioning, for example, smoothing out the dirt floor or whatever. Why? Because that's a Tolda of it. So maybe the same thing. The word Hotzamotzim, means only Hotzah. It doesn't include Achnasa. Achnasa is included, but not in the words of the Mishnah. So therefore, so you're back to the question then. Maybe the word Hotzah, in fact, means only taking out from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you're not going to have Shtayim Shein Arba that are Chayev. Mela in Masechta Shabbos, where you have Bifnim and Bachutz and all that, and you're talking about all the dinim of Shabbos, so you can say not all four of them are Chayev, but here in Shavuos, where we need all four of them to be Chayev, how do we know that Yitzias does include Achnasa as well? And the answer is, Im Kain, Nisni Hamotzi Mershus Yachid, Mershus Rabim. Then the Mishnah would have specified and said, where he takes out from Mershus Yachid to Mershus Rabim. And it would have used those extra words, my Mershus Lershus. Instead, the Mishnah just says, Mershus Lershus. That means, Afil Mershus Rabim, Mershus Yachid. That means we are, in fact, talking about even taking from Mershus Rabim to Rishus Yachid, the Kokori Lai Hotzah. And again, we see that the Mishnah is calling it Hamotzi Mirushos Lirushos. So yes, you can see, like Rav Ashi says, that the word Hotzah does in fact mean Hachnasa as well, and the word Hotzah just means taking it out of one Rishus that it was in and putting it into another Rishus, regardless of whether we would call that Hotzah and Hachnasa. Okay. So the Gemara says, the time am I, taka why? Why should we call whether we're taking something inside the house or outside? Why should we call it Hotzah? And the answer is because the answer is Tana. Call Akiras Chayfet Hotzah Kori Law, because anytime you're taking an object out of its place, then the Tana is calling it Hotzah. In other words, Hotzah doesn't mean bringing something outdoors. Hotzah means taking something out of the place that it was and putting it in another place. Whether that means bringing it inside, whether it means bringing it outside, it's still taking it from the Rishus that it was in and bringing it into another Rishus.
You mentioned before it could even be in Dalai Lama's.
It could even be outside of Dalai Lama's, right, for the reason that the Bala Mara says. You have there's various places in Chassidus where it talks about the deeper idea behind it. Why is this a malacha anyway? Especially like Tosfos said, it's a malacha grua, because really the whole point of the throughout the week is our job is in fact hachnosa, is to take things out of the Rishus HaRabim, representing the places of Klippus and all that, and bring them into the Rishus HaYochid, bring them into the Rishus HaEvish. On Shabbos we're not to do that because everything is in the Rishus HaYochid already. So therefore, to carry something on Shabbos Shabbos would in fact be a Hutzah, it would be saying the world is not on that level of closeness to Hashem, and therefore I have to take it out of one Rishus and bring it into another. So therefore, therefore it's going to be also regardless of what Rishus it was in before, because in terms of that underlying idea, you're always, no matter which Rishus it was in now, and you're moving it to another Rishus, you're taking it out of conceptually the Rishus HaYachad, the Rishus of Eibishter, which is what the world is supposed to be in on Shabbos, and you're taking it in and pretending as though it was in Rishus HaRabim. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omer Ravina, Masnissin Nami Deka. In fact, you can see that from the wording of the Mishnah. The Katani Yitzias Shabbos Shayim Shein Abavachnim or Shayim Shein Abavachutz. Look at that Mishnah in Shabbos again. It says that you have two which are four inside and two which are four outside. Become a Farah Shachnosa. And then the Mishnah is mentioning bringing in, not just taking out. You have the first case of the Mishnah over there is that the Oni sticks his hand in and puts something into the hand of the Balabais. So it mentions Yitzias, and the first example is that it mentions is bringing in. Now you have there was a girsa that some Rishonim had that said v'chama fana v'chnosa la'alter, that the very first thing that it mentions is achnosa. So Tosfos says, depending on how we learn, as we talked about before, what bifnim and what bachutz mean, respectively, then we might have that girsa la'alter, or it might not. It might be that the Gemara is saying that the very first example is an example of achnosa, or the Gemara might just be saying that among the things that it mentions, when it just delineates them in Shabbos, are things of achnosa as well. So Marshal and Marshal talk about, in other words, that here Tosfos is mentioning that the Riva does not have those words la'alter, and even without la'alter, there's no way of having Shtayim Shein Arba V'chutz, B'fnim, and Shtayim Shein Arba V'chutz without Achnosa. But so Marshal says, not the Riva is not saying that because of the questions earlier of what Bifnim and Bachutz means, therefore the Riva changed the Girsa. No, it's that this he understands the Pirush to be this way, and therefore he doesn't have room for that, and therefore he doesn't have room for that word in his Girsa. And then Marsha says that's a little bit of a doichek, and Marsha gives a different point of what Tosfos is getting out of it here. Whatever. The point being, in other words, you do have this Girsa, you do have these different Girsas of whether you have the word La'alter, is Ravina's point, the fact that the very first thing after mentioning Yitzias HaShabbos, the very first example that it gives is an example of Achnosa, or does it just mean among all the examples that it gives includes several examples of Achnosa? So therefore, in any case, however you learn it, the point is that Ravina is saying that you see that the word Yitzias does include Achnosa as well. So the Gemara says, Shnamina, good, that proves it. So therefore, so again, in our Mishnah, when it says Yitzias HaShabbos, and again, our Mishnah is not going to go into the level of detail of what exactly Bifnim and Bachutz and all that, because again, this isn't Masech HaShabbos, this is Masech HaShavuos, but therefore, in other words, we can understand that yes, all four are meant L'chiyuv, of which, how do we get four L'chiyuv, two Hatzayas and two Achnasas?
But this nice idea of Lauter is present in this sugya.
So that's the thing. So Tosfos brings two possible gifsars. He brings that the Riva does not have the word la'alter, and in fact, you look in the printed Gemara over here, you don't see it. Amar Ravina, yeah. You just have the Kamfar Shachnasa, but there was a gifsar, the Kamfar Shachnasa, la'alter.
And now, if I don't remember Masech HaShabbos, it's Pashat Barabbas. Is that the Lachut or Pashat Ani Yad?
The first case that it mentions in the Mishnah is Pashat Ani Yadim Bifnim. Which is Achnasa.
Yeah, but I forgot.
Yeah. Okay. Rabba gives a different explanation of why it says the word Yitzias. Tosfos brings again different Gersois over here that Rava, after all, lived before Rav Ashi. The Gemara even mentions in Kiddushin that Rav Ashi was born when Rava passed away, although there is an explanation that it doesn't mean literally, it just means that Rav Ashi was born before Rava passed away. But in any case, then why would the Gemara, having brought Rav Ashi's explanation, now we bring Rava's explanation? So Tosfos brings a gear so that maybe take it out, but then no, the answer is Rava is not coming to answer why the Rava is not so much coming to answer why why the Mishnah, why our Mishnah is different than the Mishnah in Shabbos, and it doesn't mention Itzah, and it doesn't mention Bifnim and Bachutz. Robert just wants to explain another answer of why the Mishnah is using the word Rishut, of why the Mishnah is using the word Yitzias. So, and we don't have to say that, we don't have to say that the word Yitzias does necessarily include Achnosis. We can say Rishuyas Katani. What Rava says, in other words, the Mishnah is just saying that there are two Rishuyas regarding the Dinim of Hatzah on Shabbos. Rishuyas Shayas, Rishuyas Shabbos Shayim, meaning the Rishuyas that are relevant as far as Shabbos, Midar Isa, are two, Rishas Yochan and Rishas Rabin. And then the result of that is that you have four things that are osir, the shtehi shein arba, you have four things that are osir in one direction and four in the other, of which some are chayiv and some are potter, depending whether one person does both the akira and hanacha, or whether different people do different ones.
Wait, so what is Rava?
So in other words, Rava is saying that there means that when the Mishnah says Yitzias HaShabbos, means that there's two basic Rishuyas, Shehein Ava, and the result, the outgrowth of that, is that you have four different kinds of things that are Chayev, and four more that are Potter. And again, our Mishnah is focusing on the ones that are Chayev because that it has to be similar to Maris Negoi.
I can't find the similarity between the two words, Yitzias and Rishuyas.
Now, the point is that Yitzias means regarding the dinim of Hatzah on Shabbos, there are two relevant Rishuyas. And therefore, all the various kinds of things that involve taking something from one of those and then bringing it to another, you have four of them for which there are Chayev, plus four more which there are Potter. So in other words, Tosfos teaches out that's what it means. B'Rishuyas Shabbos. In the Rishuyas of Shabbos, yesh beiz chiyuvim shein dalav b'fnim, or beiz chiyuvim shein dalav, or beiz chiyuvim shein dalav b'chutz. You have two ways of which there are two ways b'fnim that a person can be chayev, and two more ways where there are b'chutz for which he can be chayev, plus in addition there are other ones for which he's potter. Okay. Fine. So that takes care of the matter of Yitzias HaShabbos in our Mishnah. Next, the Mishnah had said Maris Negoyim Shnayim Shein Arba. We said that when it comes to Maris Negoyim, the colors of Tzaraas, there's two which are four, and like we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, Tosfos says that all the other ones, Tosfos and the Meiri and other Rishonim point out that unlike all the other ones, which are Shnayim Shein Arba, Beloshen Nekeva, here it's Shnayim Shein Arba, Beloshen Zachar, because Maris is Loshen Zachar. Yeah, you were asking the other day about Tosfos had mentioned Amara HaGodol Hazeh. Yeah, I looked it up. The Pasuk does in fact say it with a segel. So yeah, Mar'eh is Loshen Nekeva, so Mar'ois, the plural of it, would also have Loshen Zachar, I mean, so therefore Mar'ois, the plural of it, even though it has a feminine plural, Vav Sof, would still be Loshen Zachar. This is part of the reason, by the way, in that connection also, why it is in Parshas Tazriya Mitzorah that we just had this past Shabbos, you have various places where sometimes you have who and sometimes you have he, and the problem is, because for example, Nega, as Lord Rashi points out, Nega is Loshen Zachar, Saras is Loshen Nekeva, so it's not always easy to tell which one is going to be used in a given case. If you have a Chumash in front of you, of course, you look at the Nekudas in the Chumash. When you're about Kurdi, you just have to memorize it, yeah.
It's consistent.
Okay.
Nega Tzaraas he is because the Nega Tzaraas are Amir Chatifa, okay. So they
heat
the beginning.
Okay, so then it means you have to memorize the Tzaraas as well. Fine. Okay, onward. So the Gemara says Tznanha. So now let's look at the Mishnah and Negoyim and then analyze this. The Mishnah says over there, Maris Negoyim Shnayim Shein Abba. Again, you have the two basic Maris Negoyim, which become four. So what does that mean? The Mishnah says Baheres Azak Hashaleg. The first one is called Baheres, a bright white spot, which is white like snow. It's a strong white color, like a very 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 pale white color, like snow. Shniyala, then the secondary thing to it, because you have the pasuk mentioned se'es sapachas and baheres, and the word sapachas means something secondary. So therefore, so it means something that's almost as white as baheres, but not quite, and not quite as white. So that would be kesida heichel, like a plaster that was used in the heichel. Like we talked about a few days ago, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that regular people, when they used the plaster they made in those times, was made out of limestone that they would burn in an oven, and then melt it to make lime. That material by itself is bright white. Then sometimes people would add sand or other things to it to make it stronger, and then it would be a duller white. So here we're talking about specifically the one they would use for the heichel, which was a bright white, but not quite as bright as snow. Se'es kesemelavon. Then you have a se'es is the color of white wool. And specifically, we don't just, and by white wool, the Gemara elsewhere explains that it that means like when a newborn lamb is born, and then afterwards they wrap it up in cloth to keep the wool very white, to keep the wool very clean, so afterwards they can use it for high quality woolen garments. That's the kind of white we're talking about. Shnia like a krum beitza, and then the secondary one to it is like a membrane of an egg, like when you shell an egg and you find the membrane that from that holds the shell together from the inside. So now the Gemara is going to end up discussing we're going to talk about tomorrow, Baruch Hashem, what does this mean? Does it mean that we're talking about that are we saying that Sida Hechel is brighter white than Semer Lavan, or are we saying, so in other words, is it from brightest to dullest? Are we saying is snow, plaster, wool, and Krum Beitza, or are we saying is the actual order from brightest to dullest, is it Beheres, which is like snow, then would be the wool, then would be the Sida Hechel, and then would be the egg membrane. We'll take that up in the Gemara tomorrow. But first of all, so the Gemara says, Omer of Chanina, Man Tana Maris Negoyim. So which Tana is it that's saying that there are Maris Negoyim, that there is this concept of Ovis and Toldos, that there are different shades over there that are different colors like that, and the point is, in other words, that the Tana is saying in a way that each Ab has one Tolda, that would be Deloitte Rabakiva. That would seem to be, now Tosfos points out, by the way, the Mishnah over there mentions, we talked about this at the beginning of the Masechta, that there are many other colors of Tsanas, actually, because you have, for example, also pink. We're going to talk about it tomorrow, Baruch Hashem, et cetera. But the point is, when the Mishnah is saying the Shnayim Shein Abba, implies that these four can all combine with one another. But now the minimum size of Tsanas is a gris, the size of a certain kind of bean. It comes up in Hilchos Nida as well, so the post can discuss different possibilities of the size of it. Officially, it's the area where six by six hairs will grow on the skin. Various posts can have different opinions of it, ranging from a little bit less than the size of a dime all the way up to about the size of a penny. The Alter Rebbe's shita, as was worked out by later achronim, and we'll discuss it, seems to be that it's approximately the size of a dime. Or maybe a little bit smaller.
Less or more than both of them?
No, gris has to be some minimum size. So the minimum that the post can say is a little bit smaller than a dime. The maximum they say, I think, is the size of a penny. Whatever the case, yes, the spot is smaller than that. However, you define a gris according to each post, then it won't be metamic.
Someone asked me, I was living with him, Parshman said, if you have somebody's kule hafach tov and toiru, does it mean that there's a sheer, what if he has a spot that is not white?
So for the spot to not be white, it's called a michya, and the minimum size of a michya is the size of kadosha, like a lentil, which is 2x2 hairs. So if he has that, then he's not chafach lavan, yeah. Anyway, the point is, now imagine, for example, a person has a tzaras spot, exactly the size of a gris, let's say, and half of it is one of these four shades and half is a different one. Do they combine together in all cases or not? So Rav Chanina is saying this, that the Mishnah is saying Maris Negoyim, that you have the fact that there exists Maris Negoyim, that it's important to know that there are different shades, and that they go in a certain order, that would be Deloy Kereb Akiva. That seems to be not like Rav Akiva. De'i Rav Akiva, Kivin Oma, Zula Maila Mizu, Zula Maila Mizu. Now Rav Akiva explains. Now again, one way of understanding it is that we mean that it's in that the order from brightest to dullest is the order that it says in the Mishnah. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva holds that the Zula Maila Mizu, Zula Maila Mizu, that each one is higher that each Tolda is lower than its of, but higher than the other of. In other words, according to him, the order is Baheres Seis, and then the Tolda of Baheres, and then the Tolda of Seis. So then, Imkain Tihauta Sid Hechel Milotzaref. The result would be, in other words, that the plaster of the Hechel, which according to Rabbi Akiva would be, and according to him, the plaster of the Hechel would be the third one on the list. So then it would be impossible for it to combine with any other color. Why? Bahadi man litzrefe, because what would it combine with? Litzrefe bahadi baheres, should it combine with the baheres? Can't. Ika seis da difamine. In between, you have seis, which is higher than it, because according to Rabbi Akiva, the order is baheres, seis, and then sida Hechel. Litzir Hebahadis Seis, should it combine together with Seis? Can't. Lav Tolda Didehu. It's not a Tolda. Why should a Tolda of one of combine with a Tolda of a different one? So Rav Chanina is saying, if the Mishnah is implying that all four of them can combine, then that cannot be like Rav Akiva. Because according to the Mishnah was like Rabbi Akiva, then the Mishnah should be listing it in that order: Baheres, and then Seis, and then Sida Heichel, and then Krum Beitza, and then it would mean that each one can combine with the one next to it. But now that you're saying each one's Tolda by itself, then we're saying each one can combine only with its of, and in turn, though, that means it also has to be, the way the Mishnah is phrasing it would imply that then you're going to have a Tolda that can't combine together with its of. So the Gemara says, Yehochi, if so, then why are you saying Davka, then why are you mentioning Davka Sida Heichel? You have the same problem with Krum Beitza, Nami, Bahadiman Litzrefei. You have the same question about Krum Beitza, which is, according to Rabbi Akiva, is the Tolda of Seis. And again, according to Rabbi Akiva's listing, Seis would be listed second, and Krum Beitza would be listed fourth. But meanwhile, according to Rabbi Akiva, Krum Beitza should combine only with Seis, and the order should be listed Baheres, and then Seis, and then each of their Toldas. You'd have the same question. You're going to say combine it with Seis, but you have Sid, which is higher than it, which is brighter than it. And say you combine it together with Sid, and there's nothing, and it can't, because they're told us of two different others. So why is Rabbi Chanina focusing specifically on Sid HaHechel? He could ask the same thing from the other Tolda as well, of Krum Beitza. So there were several Tosfos and other points from other Rishonim that deal with various angles on what exactly the flow of the Gemara is and what the questions are and so forth. So one thing is, in other words, Tosfos brings one explanation. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Akiva, if Rabbi Akiva again would hold that an Av and its Tolda are going to combine, but if you're going to say that, so if you're going to say that Zula Milami, when the Mishnah says Zula Milami Zu, means that when Rabbi Akiva says Zula Milami Zu, he means that even the two Toldas could combine together, then fine, then the Mishnah would be saying that, but now that the Mishnah, but Rabbi Chanina is asking specifically from Sida Heichel, the question seems to be, in other words, you're saying that in order to combine together, it needs to be only with the one that's next to it, whereas the Mishnah seems to be implying that combines together only with its Av. Well, then the question is, and why are you asking only about Sida Heichel? Ask about Krum Beitza as well, because you have the same issue. The Gemara says, "Hi, my. What kind of a question is that? There's a big difference. Vishlema below Sid Heichel. If the Mishnah had not, if you didn't have the question from Sid Heichel, from the plaster of the Heichel, then you would say Krum Beitza like Tasha. Then there's not such a problem asking from the membrane of the egg. The Achagav the Krum Beitza mitatoi de Seis, because it is true that it is lower than Seis. It's the Tolda of Seis. Nevertheless, there Rachmana Omer v'las Seis v'las Hapachas. Since the Pasuk, when it summarizes the Dinim of Saras, it says, v'las eis v'las sapachas. That means sapachas, tfeilo la seis. That means any kind of sapachas can be secondary to seis, or not any kind, that the sapachas, the tolda of seis, could be considered like it, it's tfeilo to it, and combines with it. Afagav, d'minach, d'minei tova, even though it is much lower than it. In other words, we would say, that Rabbi Akiva would say, that from that ribui of la se'es, la sapachas, la baheres, means, in other words, that the pasuk is saying se'es and sapachas go together. So se'es can combine together with baheres because you have, to begin with, the pasuk mentions them at the beginning, se'es or sapachas or baheres, teaching us that they combine together. And then you would say se'es can also combine together with its sapachas, even though it's 2 degrees lower. Ela sida heichel kasha, but the question would be the tolda of baheres. Why would it combine with baheres when, on the one hand, it is the tolda of baheres, but on the other hand, it's 2 levels lower? To ela machvarta deloik Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, yes, it is masnissin deloik Rabbi Akiva. So yes, therefore, it is clear that Mishnah cannot work according to Rabbi Akiva. That, in other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, we would say at this point that there's this told us only of Seis. So there are, so in other words, we would say that, we would say that according to Rabbi Akiva, only, like this, the Mishnah is telling us that both Seis and Beharis have a tolda. Now we would be saying, according to Rabbi Akiva, no, it would come out that only Seis has two toldas and Beharis has none. So in fact, Rashi at the beginning brings up there's a girsa in the Gemara, Mantana Maris Nigoyim, whereas there was a girsa, Mantana Maris Nigoyim Shnayim Shein Abba. Now everybody agrees that there are Shnayim Shein Abba, but the question is only that the way the Mishnah says it in Nigoyim, where it mentions it in terms of Ovis and Toldus, it comes out according to Rabbi Akiva that one of those Ovis is not really an Av because it has no Toldus. It's a Baheres, according to that, would have no Toldus and only Seis would have a tolda.
Based on
this pasuk, but also based on Rabbi Akiva's understanding of the order of things, where it would come out therefore that you'd have, according to Rabbi Akiva, you have Beharis, then you have Seis, and then you have the two toldas. So in other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, we would say the Beharis is all by itself; it has no toldas that come from it, and Seis has two toldas, namely Sida Hechel and Krum Beitza.
Pointed that out because it's
Shaim
Shein Arba, we said before.
No, so that's the thing. So everybody agrees there's Shaim Shein Arba. There's no question that there are four. The question is, are they Ovis and Toldus, is it two Ovis from which they've come out two Toldus? There's definitely two Ovis and two Toldus. The question is, are the two Toldus from one from each of, or is it that one of actually is not really an of because it has no toldas and the other one has two toldas. So that's Rashi, and the Rimi Gash in fact learn that way that it means exactly that. The Gemara is now saying that according to Rabbi Akiva, Beharis, which is the color of snow, has no toldas, and as far as Seis, the color of wool, has two toldas. So because the Mishnah is saying, now the Mishnah is putting of tolda, then that means, in other words, it's saying that each of has a tolda, whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, it would not be so. And then Tosfos discusses over here. Tosfos explains over here that no, Rabbi Akiva would agree that each of has a tolda, but nevertheless that Sid would not combine with Beharis because it's two levels higher. It could combine with Seis even though it's a tolda of a different of because after all there's only one degree apart. But still, in other words, the point would still be that the Mishnah can't be about Rabbi Akiva. Because, again, you could say, fine, the Pasuk says, Se'es v'sapachas, la'se'es v'la'sapachas, v'la'behores, so therefore that teaches us that there's a sapachas that can combine together with Seis. But the question would be then, when it comes to that, still, according to Rabbi Akiva, it would come out that the key thing is not so much that an of can combine together only with a tolda, but rather that it can combine together even with a different one, as long as they're one degree apart, and yet the way the Mishnah is phrasing it implies that the key thing is that there's overs and then there's toldas. Yeah, the Rambam, by the way, paskins in the end that the Rambam has a different understanding of our Gemara. The Rambam ends up paskining that all four of them do in fact combine with one another. Kesef Mishnah explains, in other words, that the Gemara is first thinking that the Gemara is first thinking another possibility. According to Rabbi Akiva, maybe there's no such thing as Ovis and Toldos. Maybe in fact they're all considered Ovis, or they're all considered Toldos, or whatever. But in the end, now we're going to continue this discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem, we're going to discuss more about the Rambam passing that all four of them combined together. So the Kesef Mishnah explains that the Gemara is going to end up saying, here so far we've said that our Mishnah does not go like Rabbi Akiva. In the end, the Gemara is going to say that not necessarily so, that even Rabbi Akiva holds there are Ovis and there are Toldos, but nevertheless that Rabbi Akiva would hold that all, and the Mishnah would be implying that all four of them combine, and therefore it can still be that, therefore it's so that would be. So in other words, in the end, the fact that there's Ovis and Toldos is really more relevant for the fact that Koyan has to know which is which, but not so much as far as which will combine with each other. In fact, in the end, all of them will combine with any other one. And you can have a spot. You can have a spot of the size of a gris, and one quarter of it is Beharis, and one quarter of it is Sida Hechel, and another quarter is whatever, and it would still all be mitzvah.